Love, the podcast that helps you understand trauma's impact and liberate yourself from it. You'll leave cool, hope, and the freedom that comes from rewriting your story so you can break free from the past to create the happy, healthy relationships you've always been for. Have you ever been told that you need stronger boundaries, only to fear that setting them will push people away? Or maybe you've built walls so high that even the good, safe people can't get through. If you're a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, boundaries can feel complicated because your earliest lessons about safety, trust, and love were broken way before you had words for them. Before we dive in, I want you to take a moment right now, wherever you are, and bring to mind a time you either didn't set a boundary or regretted setting one, or you did set one but felt guilt afterwards. I'm Layla Reyes, and in today's episode, From Trauma to True Love, we're talking about boundaries for creating healthy adult relationships, and more specifically, how to protect your heart without closing it off. We'll explore why boundaries are often hard for survivors of childhood sexual abuse, how to set them in a way that keeps you open to love, and how to tell the difference between red flags and green lights in your relationships. Why? Because you deserve to feel safe, respected, and deeply connected. And boundaries are one of the most important and most powerful ways to get there. So let's dive in. To talk about boundaries, we have to start by understanding why they can feel so difficult, especially for those of us who are survivors of childhood sexual abuse. From the very beginning of our lives, many of us didn't get to learn what safe boundaries were. The people who should have been our protectors, the ones responsible for keeping us safe, were sometimes the very ones who crossed these boundaries. When that happens, especially at an early age, it blurs the lines between what's okay and what's not okay. The Childhood Sexual Abuse Center's research calls this a disruption of boundary clarity, and it's one of the most common and lasting impacts of sexual abuse in childhood that affects our adult relationships. And so what does that look in adult life? Well, it can go in two opposite directions, often in the same person. On one side, you might over-accommodate, people-please, overgive, bend over backwards to keep the peace. Ever done that? I have. Somewhere deep down, it feels safer to meet other people's needs before your own. And this pattern often comes from trying to avoid conflict or rejection, things that felt dangerous in the past. On the other side, some of us respond by creating rigid self-protection and we build emotional walls. We keep people at a distance, even when part of us longs, but maybe a big part of us longs for closeness. We may consciously or unconsciously think, if I don't let anyone in too far, they can't hurt me. And while that's understandable because it grew out of a very real need for safety, it can also keep us from the intimacy that we long for. In my early years, I was the queen of overaccommodation. I said yes to everything, even when I was exhausted, even when my gut screamed no. And at other times, I swung the other way and kept people at arm's length. I told myself it was independence, but really it was fear. Layered on top of all of this is shame. And shame can whisper, you're unworthy, or you don't deserve to take up space. And when shame is running the show, well, setting boundaries can end up feeling selfish, aggressive, or like we're risking everything, even our own safety. When in actuality, it's what helps us to create safety. So the research also points out that many survivors never had healthy boundaries modeled for them. We weren't shown what it looks like to say, no, that doesn't work for me, or no, this is my body, and still have love, connection, and respect in the relationship. Without that modeling, boundaries feel foreign, awkward, and even dangerous. So here's the truth. Without boundaries, It's much harder to feel safe in relationships. Without a sense of safety, it's really hard to trust. And without trust, intimacy becomes something we either avoid or chase in ways that really aren't healthy. So if you've struggled with boundaries, please hear me. There is nothing wrong with you. Your struggle makes perfect sense if you've lived through childhood sexual abuse or any other early trauma. And the good news is that boundaries are a skill that can be learned, that can be practiced, and that can be strengthened over time in healthy ways. And once you learn to set healthy boundaries, everything changes about how you show up in love and in life, and the quality of your relationship, all your relationships also change. So here's a shift I want you to really take in. Boundaries are not really about keeping people out. They're about letting the right people in. For many of us, the word boundary has been tangled up with rejection, conflict, or fear. But when we look at it through the lens of healing, boundaries are actually acts of love. They're love for yourself because you're honoring your own needs, your own limits, and your own truth. And they're also love for others because you're giving others a clear, honest picture of how to be in connection with you in a healthy way. I often tell my clients that boundaries are not walls, they're bridges. They create a safe and sturdy pathway between you and another person. They can be used as walls for sure, but they don't have to be. And when they're used as bridges, then they'll create that pathway, you know, of connection, of intimacy. But without boundaries, the connection can feel shaky or unsafe. And with boundaries, you know where you stand. The other people know where they stand. And that clarity actually builds trust. The research shows that survivors who develop healthy boundaries report greater emotional well-being, stronger relationships, and more self-respect. That's because boundaries are the framework that allows intimacy to grow without the fear of being hurt in the same ways that we were hurt before. So one client that I had, I'll call her Maria, came to me convinced that if she set boundaries, people would see her as cold or difficult. In her past, saying no had been met with anger or punishment. Over time, we worked on small, manageable ways for her to speak up, saying things like, "I'd love to see you, but I need to rest tonight. Can we plan for later in the week?" A very simple thing, but difficult for people who don't know how to set boundaries. Well, what happened? She said this to her partner, and what happened amazed her. Her partner showed up in a different way. The people who truly cared respected her limits, and the ones who didn't, well, she realized they weren't really safe to keep close, and so she let them go. Boundaries can send a powerful message to your own nervous system, and it's a message that says, "I can keep myself safe now." Boy, that's a big shift from the helplessness many of us felt as children when we felt like we couldn't keep ourselves safe. But in actuality, at that time in our lives, it was safer to not have the boundaries, probably. And, you know, we didn't know how to set them anyway. But this is something that's really like a key piece here, to know that maybe not setting those boundaries or letting someone do something to you actually was the best choice at the time. It was the safest choice at the time in our minds, in our small bodies. So, you know, when you set these boundaries in adulthood, there's this big shift, right? So you're showing yourself that you do have choices, that you do get to decide what's right for you, and that you can protect your heart without locking it away. So as we move forward, I want you to really remember that boundaries, when you set them with other people, they're not a punishment or a test for the people in your life, not an overt test anyway. They are kind of like a For them, it's an invitation into a healthier, safer, more connected relationship with you. And it's also giving you information if they set them or not. Because if they respect them or not, if they respect them, then of course this is a direction to go, to a connection to keep. And if they don't, then you have more information on maybe what a choice that you need to make around that relationship. So let's look at how you actually set boundaries in a way that protects your heart, but doesn't shut you off from love. It starts with understanding that boundaries are both internal and external. Internal boundaries are the promises that you make to yourself, the choices that you are making for yourself. Things like, I won't ignore my needs, or I will listen to my needs. I'll speak up when something doesn't feel right to me. And then external boundaries are how you communicate and uphold those promises that you've made to yourself with others. So let's walk through four steps that make this really practical. Step one is you really need to know your needs. You can't set healthy boundaries if you don't know that you're protecting or creating what you're protecting or creating space for. This means that you need to get really honest about your emotional, physical, and relational needs. So some questions that you can ask yourself might be something like, do you need more time for yourself? Do I need more time for myself? Do I need to slow down before committing? Do I need to feel emotionally safe before I open up physically? These are some questions, some basic things to know what you need. So here's a tip. Start noticing the moments when you feel uncomfortable or resentful or physically or emotionally drained. Those feelings are often your body waving a flag saying, hey, a boundary is needed here. So let me say this again. Take the time to notice if you feel uncomfortable or resentful or drained, either emotionally or physically, because those are keys. Those are clues that your body is telling you that you need to set a boundary. We survivors of childhood sexual abuse might not trust those. Like our body tells us things, right? We get information from our body. So survivors might not be able to recognize those as those red flags telling us a boundary is needed. So I want to be really explicit and straightforward that when you have those feelings, and let you know, those are clues to pay attention to. I remember when I first started practicing this, I didn't know what I wanted or needed, even in small situations, like the most basic situations. So an example here is that if a friend asked me if I wanted to go to, we were going to go to dinner together, and they, do you want to go to have Chinese food or Mexican food for dinner? And I couldn't answer. I truly didn't know. It didn't matter to me. In that moment, I didn't care. It was easier, but on reflection, I can see that I had spent so many years deferring to others that I'd lost touch with my own preferences. So then I experienced it as it didn't really matter what we ate. And so I, would defer to other people, and I would say, whatever you want to eat, that's fine. But I never really got in touch with what I needed. Now, this is a really basic thing. Like, what do I want to put in my body? What do I want to eat? So if this is where you're at right now, that's okay. Start with these small things, food choices, movie selections, even what music plays in your car. It's not about the meal or the movie or the song. It's about reconnecting to yourself. And when you reconnect with yourself on these really surface levels, it's a pathway to start reconnecting with deeper needs and desires that you have for your life. Step number two is to communicate with clarity and kindness. So boundaries don't have to be confrontational. In fact, the most effective ones are often simple and direct and kind. So instead of over-explaining or apologizing, which is something that is very common for us to do, survivors to do, we might say something like, you know, I'm not available that day, but I can do next week. I can help you out next week. Or I need to think about that before I give you an answer. So we give ourselves a little time, a little space to think about and feel into what it is that we need. We might say, just plain and simple, I'm not comfortable discussing that with you. So notice that in these answers of not over-explaining or apologizing, that there's no long justification, there's no defensive tone. You're just sharing information. You're not asking for permission to have to do or not do what you want. So let's try a little contrast here. Imagine that someone says, someone says no. Here's three versions. The apologetic version is, I'm really sorry. I know you were hoping for this, but I can't. I mean, I just have so much going on. So maybe I can do this later. So listen to that. It's very apologetic. The second version is very blunt. No, I can't. Just no. And the third version is more of a confident version. I'm not available that day, but I can help you out next week. Would that work for you? Can you hear the difference? The confident version is clear, it's kind, it leaves the door open for deeper connection, for working something out, negotiating, that kind of thing, which is wonderful when we have needs and other people have needs and wants as well. Let's look at step number three, which is holding your ground. Once you've communicated a boundary, the next step is to uphold it. This can be the hardest part for survivors because it can bring up guilt or shame, or the biggest one is fear of rejection. That's the one, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment. That's one that I've definitely dealt with in my life. Holding a boundary isn't about controlling someone else. It's about taking care of yourself. So you can acknowledge another person's feelings without changing your limit to make them more comfortable. When I first started choosing my own meal, like saying what I wanted, I would often cave. I'd pick Mexican food, for example, and we'd end up with Chinese food. I'd pick one movie out of the two options and we'd end up watching the other movie. It sounds small, but each time I gave in, I reinforced that my preferences didn't matter. Underneath that, the belief that I had was that I didn't matter. But I kept practicing in little ways until it became natural. And yes, there were times when the solution was visiting two restaurants. Took a while to get to that point where both persons' needs are being met. When you try this, if guilt comes up or fear comes up, here's a little tool. Put your hand on your heart, just take a deep breath and ask yourself or say to yourself, I create safety for myself when I honor my needs. And so try that right now with me, just putting your hand on your heart. Take a breath and say, I create safety for myself when I honor my needs. You could say, I create safety for myself when I set boundaries that honor my needs. And you can do this over and over again until it becomes natural. Step number four is to stay open while staying safe. So remember, I said boundaries don't have to be walls. Boundaries are not walls meant to keep everyone out. They're gates that you control. And gates can open and gates can close, and you get to be the operator of those gates. So staying open means that you're willing to connect, but you're also watching for whether the connection feels safe and mutual. If someone respects your boundary, well, that's a sign that you can relax that boundary over time. If they don't, then you know it's time to reinforce it or even take a step back away from that person. And both all of that creates safety for yourself. It sends a powerful message that your needs and your desires and your boundaries are important and they matter. I had a client who was terrified of letting her partner in emotionally because she'd been hurt many times before. And I guided her on how to set boundaries with her partner. At first, we worked on setting small boundaries and watching how they responded. And to her surprise, they respected them and gained the information. She gained the information that she needed to take more risks because she felt safe enough to share more of herself. Well, in this situation, because of these actions and the support that she got in taking those actions, because in the beginning, it can be really difficult, her relationship deepened in ways that she never thought possible. The more that you practice these steps, the more natural it becomes to protect your own well-being without losing the closeness that you want. Over time, you'll start to notice that the people who truly care will meet you in the space, in that space that your boundaries create and not push up against it. Well, of course, there's going to be people who won't respect your boundaries and they will push up against them. But as you grow and change, so will the quality of the connections you have and the level of respect people have for your boundaries. Why? Because you're respecting your boundaries and you're doing it in a way that inspires others to respect them as well. So this is what I teach my clients to do. We've talked about the steps to set boundaries, but how do you know when to lean in and when to take a step back? I like to think of these as green lights and red flags in your relationships. The green lights, these are the yes, this is safe signals, right? Green lights are signs that you're in a healthy, respectful dynamic, that your boundaries are being honored, and trust can grow. So here are some examples of that. The person that you're in relationship with listens and responds to your needs, to what you have to say, to your boundaries, without getting defensive. They remember and respect what you've shared about your limits. They take responsibility for their actions instead of blaming you. They're willing to adjust, you know, to adapt, to make the relationship feel safe for both of you. And then you leave the interaction feeling valued, understood, and at ease. So take a moment right now and think about the last time that you experienced one of these green lights. How did it feel in your body? Did your shoulders relax? Did you breathe easier? Just notice. And as you're moving forward, I want you to take time to really notice these things moving forward. If you didn't notice them before, start to notice them now. The first step is becoming aware. First step of any change, any transformation is about becoming aware first. So take some time to really recognize what happens in your body when someone does respect your boundaries. Now, the other side of this are the red flags. These are the pay attention warnings that are so important. Again, that we might, you know, because of what happened to us, we might minimize them, discount them. We might ignore them. We might sweep them under the carpet. We might explain them away. This is your invitation to pay attention. Red flags don't always mean that you have to end a relationship, but they do mean that your boundary is at risk and you need some caution. This caution helps you create the safety. Paying attention helps you create safety for yourself instead of putting that on someone else to do for you, right? We're going to be disappointed with that if we let someone else like take care of our needs when we haven't taken care of them ourselves, when we haven't set those boundaries ourselves. So here's what red flags can look like. They can look like someone dismissing what you say, mocking what you say, minimizing what you say. They can look like someone pushing past your boundaries repeatedly or forgetting them, repeatedly forgetting your boundaries. So you always have to remind them. They can look like someone trying to make you feel guilty or selfish for having needs. They can look like someone becoming angry or sulking or maybe distancing themselves from you when you stand your ground, or even when you just imply a boundary is there. It might even start there. A red flag could be where you consistently feel smaller or less safe or less sure of yourself after spending time with someone. When you notice red flags, it's your cue to pause. Maybe not take any action right there, but to pause. Become aware of what is happening here. And then reinforcing your boundaries, setting those boundaries, reassessing whether this relationship is safe to maintain at its current level of closeness. And there are some steps in between that, right? There you reinforce a boundary, you let give someone the information, and then you pay attention to how they're showing up or whether they're honoring your boundaries. And then we have decisions to make, which can be really difficult. I know that those have been very difficult for me in the past. So recognizing red flags and green lights is a skill. And like any skill, it gets easier with practice. This is not about labeling people as good or bad if they don't keep your boundaries. It's about reading the signals so you can make choices that protect your well-being and allow room for genuine connection. So if you want a quick, clear guide to help you recognize these signals in real time, I created a free resource called Love Signals. It's designed for people who are dating as they're getting into a relationship and looking for a relationship that has all of the green lights with them. But it works beautifully whether you're single or in a relationship. It's a simple card that you can keep with you on your phone or print out, and it has a list of the green lights and red flags that you can reference anytime. And you can get it at my website at leilareyes.com. LEILAREYES.com. And you can just download that there. It's a small tool, but for many of my clients, it's been a game changer in trusting themselves around choosing a relationship that really feels safe. And for people who are in relationship, identifying kind of the gaps around their safety. So if boundaries have felt confusing, overwhelming, or even scary for you, I want you to know this. You're not alone, and there's nothing wrong with you. The challenges that you've faced in setting and holding boundaries are a direct result of what happened to you. And these patterns of behavior made sense at the time that you started not having a boundary, right? But here's the beautiful truth. You're not the powerless child anymore. You have the ability now to decide who gets close to you, how they get to treat you, right? How someone gets to treat you is around those boundaries, and how much of your heart they have access to. Healthy boundaries don't close you off from love. They make it possible. They make healthy love possible. They help you protect what matters most while letting connection, joy, and intimacy in. So, as you move through this week, I invite you to pay attention to your relationships. Notice the green lights that tell you it's safe to open up and the red lights that signal it's time to step back, to speak up. Every time you act on those signals, you're strengthening your trust in yourself. And that is one of the most loving things that you can do for your future. I'd like you to take a moment to right now, just to imagine a relationship where you feel safe to be fully yourself, where you're comfortable setting boundaries, completely and totally comfortable setting boundaries, and you're doing this in a way where your needs are respected without question, and where your heart feels both protected and wide open. So can you really just imagine that for a moment? 10 years ago, that would have been difficult for me to imagine. And so I recognize that this is like, I may be asking you to stretch a little bit, especially if you've never had that. So just imagine that safe relationship where it's easy to say yes when you mean yes and no when you mean no. Easy to set those boundaries and not having to close your heart to do so, not having to push someone away to do so, because people are responding and respecting to those boundaries. This isn't just a dream. I promise you, this isn't just a dream. It's what becomes possible when you live with healthy boundaries, when you set healthy boundaries, and in order to do that, you have to really know where you stand so that you can set those boundaries. If you're not experiencing this kind of love right now, you don't have to figure it out alone. I'd be honored to walk alongside you in creating that. And again, you can visit LaylaReyes.com. We can set up a time to talk. Hop on the phone together and explore what you most want in your relationships and see if working together feels like the right fit for both of us. So thank you for spending this time with me today, for investing in this time with me today. If you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone who might need to hear it. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And remember, you deserve to have love. You deserve love that feels safe, mutual, and real. And boundaries are the bridge that will help you get there. Thank you for joining me on this episode of From Trauma to True Love. I honor your courage for being here, taking steps towards the love and connection that you truly desire. I've been there too, stuck in painful patterns, longing for love but unsure how to create it in a way that felt safe, real, and lasting. You don't have to figure it all out on your own. If you're ready to explore what's been holding you back, and discover what's truly possible for your relationships, I would love to support you. Visit Layla Reyes, LeilaReyes, Layla Reyes, and schedule a call today. We'll take the first step together toward the deep, meaningful love that you were born to have. I can't wait to connect with you. Until next time, take good care of yourself and know that real, lasting love is within your reach.